Welcome everybody for today's Monday seminar on December 7th. Yeah, as usual, the disclaimer that today's meeting will be recorded, but I guess everybody knows the procedure by now. If you're uncomfortable or would like to have more information on that, you may send an email to either Carla or myself and we can explain the thing to you. Coming up today, it's our great honor to have Manfred Hartbauer from the University of Graz giving his talk today. And next week will be by Michael Grieser, who is a new cluster affiliate member. And we're also excited to hear his talk next week at the same time. Then this might be of interest to everybody who has to get into grant writing over the holidays. The Research Support Center of the university is offering a small lunch information series every other Thursday. There will be a different topic in terms of grant writing and funding application to be covered. And one that is coming up is why should I apply for funding? What's internal funding about? So make sure to check it out on the Research Support website. There has to be pre-registration to access the seminar room, but I think it should be a really cool event and it's just half an hour. So have a look at their offer. Talking of grants, the SUCO is also has opened a number of calls with a deadline by the end of January. It's open to all Uni Konstanz researcher from the postdoc level upwards that don't have tenure, and there's a rich selection of interesting grants. So make sure to check it out on the SUCO website or contact Anda Lohan, the program director for the fellows, for details. This should also provide some good opportunities. And just a short reminder, if you're a female or diverse postdoctoral researcher at Uni Konstanz and are interested in some customized career support, there's the Konstanzia Fellowship, which the deadline ends today. So if you're interested, you might want to contact Tanja Edelhäuser at the Equal Opportunity Office for how to apply at the last minute. This is that, and now I'm done with the announcements and I wish you a great time. Enjoy today's talk and I hand over to Felix Oberhauser. Thank you.
Hello everyone. I'm delighted to introduce to you today's speaker, Professor Manfred Hartbauer from the University of Graz in Austria, who will talk about his recent advances in developing an effective biopesticide to fight locust plagues. But before we get started on this interesting topic, I'll give a quick overview of our speaker's background. So Manfred Hartbauer started his career as a medical technical assistant in heart and cancer research at the Department of Medical Physics and Biophysics at the MedUni in Graz, Austria. He then continued with a PhD in zoology, followed by a tenure track position, which led him to the current position he has as an associate professor at the Institute of Zoology in Graz, which he started in 2014. Dr. Hartbauer has worked on many different areas across neurobiology and insect behavior, often with an emphasis on using his findings to improve existing technologies. Just to name a few, by far not all of his research projects are sensory processing of signals and mate choice in crickets, evolution of cooperation among non-social insect communities, for instance, collective defense in aphids, collision avoidance in flying locusts and how it could improve drone flight, development of algorithms to improve night vision and to denoise images, and of course, his recent venture in the field of biopesticides to create a novel oil mixture which can efficiently kill locusts with less negative environmental impact than commonly used pesticides. But before we start on this interesting talk, two more things. If you have any questions, please use the chat function. We'll come back to those questions later. Also, if you're working on locusts or just really interested in the details of locust research, feel free to join our separate meeting after this talk. It will be at 1:15 today. I'll send the Zoom link in the chat as well in a minute. But now, without further ado, Manfred Hartbauer, the stage is finally yours. Thank you for sharing your newest project with us.
Thank you for this kind introduction. So I want to give an introduction to the problem created by locusts in my talk. Then I will explain the problems created by current measures taken against locust outbreaks. And then I talk about the ideal locust treatment, which has not been found so far, but we are working on this. And I will also explain and show you the latest results from our lab, in which we performed a small semi-field study in a glass house. This is a local map, a current map of the problem in Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, and Yemen. It's only 2 months ago that this map was drawn. It shows the outbreaks of locusts and how, in which direction they migrate. So the arrows show the direction of migration. So locusts are still a problem in nowadays. It's not an ancient plague. It's still a plague today, and it's even getting more problematic because of the COVID crisis, which also reduces the possibilities to treat the locusts. The problem associated with locusts are rather well known. The problems are created by the damage of agriculture, which may lead to famine and starvation. And it also increases the poverty of farmers, and it can trigger migration. So this is a big problem that we face currently, especially in East Africa, but also we have problems in Pakistan, in the Ladakh region, in Australia, in South America, and so on. So locusts are a big problem at the moment. And this problem is, to my opinion, getting even worse because of the climate change. What is done currently by authorities? They spray chemical pesticides, and these pesticides, they are not so environmentally friendly as they may see, as they may seem, and some of them even have long-term toxic effects. Some of them even lost their effectiveness because of resistance. And so, what would be an ideal alternative solution to this problem? The substance or the method should be effective, and it should be rather target specific. It should have a low toxicity to humans and to the environment, and especially also to non-target. It should not affect the non-target organisms. The compounds should be easily to handle and to apply. And the after treatment, the compounds should rapidly degrade. So this would be the ideal stuff, but this stuff is still not available. So we are still working on this. One alternative method to chemical pesticides is the use of entomopathogenic fungi. So we all know more than 40 years ago, it's already known this white muscardine disease, which is caused by Bovaria bassiana. And there was this big project, which was also funded by the European Union. It's called Lubilosa Project. And it during this development, they developed a rather specific Metaritium spore that targets these gregarious locusts. It's sold as a trademark, either Green Muscle or nowadays it's called Novacrete. And it should as far as I know, it's currently used in Somalia at the moment. But these fungi, they have some problems. One is that even in the Lubilosa project, they hardly confirmed or conducted any field studies because it's very hard to track infected individuals during a long incubation time of about 14 days. After spraying the spores, it depends on the temperature, but it can take even more than 14 days to have any effect. And especially there is missing data on adults. It seems to work with the nymphs, but not so easily with adults. And the sporulation needs a special time temperature range. So the night should not be colder than 20 degrees and the day should be not hotter than 38 degrees. And this is hardly found in Africa, especially. Another problem comes with the solvent because these spores are solved in oil, and instead of using any plant oil, the authorities, they use diesel or kerosene or other mineral oils, and they spray it on huge areas. So using planes or something, they spray it on huge areas, which is not so environmentally friendly in my opinion. And another problem comes with these oils because in all of these Lubilosa studies, they never performed any oil control. So we do not really know what kills the insects. Is it the oil or is it the spores? We don't know. And another problem is the thing that this fungus is not very specific. So we know that now it's often used against the sugar beet weevils, these beetles that damage the sugar beets. So it's rather unspecific. It's not just harming the acrid grasshoppers. Another alternative would be the products of a neem tree. So for instance, neem oil. We know from scientific literature that neem oil products causes a high mortality in flying Schistocerca gregaria. So the desert locust is rather, so it can be killed using this oil. We also know from literature that it decreases the flight performance in this desert locust, and it has some repellent effect, or some of these neem tree products can cause a repelling effect. So they don't like to be in contact with these products. This was shown in the red locust, Nomadacris septemfasciata. In this red locust, it was also found that some of these products from the neem tree can cause a phagorepellent effect. Yeah, what we found in our lab was that linseed oil, when you mix it with a soda solution, gets hard within 24 hours. So when you create such an emulsion and you watch it 24 hours later, you find a very plastic-like film on the battery dish. And so we thought maybe this is a good idea to treat locusts because it's environmentally friendly, it doesn't harm humans, so it may be a good starting point. And indeed, it turned out that it has some toxic effect, but the problem was when we mixed 50% linseed oil with about 50% of saturated soda solution, so sodium hydrogen carbonate, this causes some moderate toxicity, but it's still not that what we need in the field. So we were performing a screening for essential oils, so plant oils that may improve this toxicity of linseed oil. And so we performed experiments with kohlrabi, orange peel oil, wintergreen, ginger, clove, peppermint, basil, and eucalyptus oil. And interestingly, we found that the combination of kohlrabi, orange peel oil, and wintergreen oil has some additive effect. It kills this Schistocerca gregaria and Locusta migratoria within 24 hours. We also published this in the Journal of Pest Science, and we also filed a patent for this emulsion. So when we combine linseed oil with these essential oils, And when we add some amorgator, we use lecithin and we add this sodium hydrogen carbonate, then we can kill the locusts within a short period of time. And the question is, what would happen if we add these essential oils to other plant oils? Are they also effective or not? So this was done by my colleague Kostarakos, and he has shown that linseed oil with this sodium hydrogen carbonate was most effective. So within about 20 hours later, almost all of the locust individuals already died. But also sunflower oil is rather effective. Soybean oil can also be used, but it takes a little bit longer. Rapeseed oil was moderate effective. Interestingly, linseed oil with sodium sulfate, so instead of sodium hydrogen carbonate, we used the sodium sulfate, it was not so effective. Soy oil was also not so effective when we mixed it with this sodium sulfate. Linseed oil only, you see, it takes a long time to create this toxic effect. And this is the control. So the interesting thing about linseed is that it consists of linoleic acid and oleic acid. And these two acids, they are known as necromones. What is a necromone? It is produced by dead insect bodies. And other insects, like bees, ants, spiders, and aphids, were found to respond to these acids. And it induces necrophoric behavior, which can become obvious when they remove dead insect bodies or when they bury dead insect bodies or when they start to cannibalize. And so we address the question if this linseed oil may also disrupt swarm formation in the desert locust. So we performed a small behavior study in which we placed six individuals of either sex in an arena and we watched their aggregation behavior for 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, we brushed the wings of a target individual with linseed oil and we recorded their behavior for another 30 minutes. And as you can see, the results show that especially males or most males decrease the time spent in the near of the target individuals with the brushed wings, whereas females did not really respond. So there was no significant change in females to these linseed oil brushed individuals. So it seems that there is some effect, but we had to perform additional experiments in order to see what creates this behavioral response of males. So we were also looking at linseed oil drops on a paper. So we placed one paper on one corner of the arena and we put some linseed oil on it and we had a control paper on the other side and we were looking for the behavior of male and female groups. But we found no difference. So they spent the average time was not different between these two corners. So that was rather surprising, but it may be a problem that's created by the stationary target. So in this case, the linseed was placed on a stationary target. So we were thinking what else can create a necrophoric behavior or a repellent behavior. So we freezed males and then we crushed males and we placed a single crushed male in one corner and we had some control in the other corner. And then we started this again. And it turned out that males spent less time in the corner with the crushed dead body. So it seems that this dead body creates some necrophoric behavior in these desert locusts. So we think that when we spray linseed oil in the field, it can cause some swarm disruptive behavior. But we are not sure about this because the effect was not very strong. Recently, we also performed a semi-field experiment. My colleague Konstantinos Kostarakos put a lot of effort in this experiment in order to create these cages. In these cages, so we created six of these cages in order to test six different oil immersions. And we also separated these cages in five compartments. And so to have some, to perform some statistics with the results. And you can see here my colleague Birgit, she's seeding the locusts here. So we were placing them in these cages and they were allowed to feed on these roll turf, so Rollrasen, in order to keep them alive during the experiment. When we look at the insects 48 hours later, we've seen a lot of dead individuals in certain groups. So in one group, we had already a high proportion of dead individuals. And so we were, in order to count them, we were making alignments of the dead insect bodies. And when you look at the result of the best treatment group, you can see that we have 49% of dead individuals after only 48 hours. So in the control, we hardly had some dead individuals. There were just a few dead individuals, so it was below 1%. So this creates, so this result is very promising. And so we think that we have something which is based on linseed oil and then that creates a high toxic or a high, a big effect on these locusts when we spray them by using a commercially available spraying device. But we have to remember that this study was performed in a temperature range between 11 degrees in the night and 15 degrees during daytime, because this was done in the winter here in these glass houses in the near of Graz. So we also were interested how the grass responds to linseed oil treatment. And we have seen that even a week after spray treatment, there was no difference between the linseed oil treatment treated grass and the water treated grass. So this is very interesting because we thought there maybe linseed oil has some plant toxic effect, but it seems not to be the case with this grass here. So summarizing these results, we can say that the hardening of linseed oil can be accelerated by adding sodium hydrogen carbonate, and it creates a very thin film on the insects. And this prevents the ventilation of these insects, so they suffocate within a few hours. And the nice thing about this treatment is that it also has an immediate anti-feeding effect. So these locusts stop feeding on grass immediately. And we know that from this Necromon study that we recently published that the linseed oil components also have some moderate swarm disruptive effects. So our idea was to maybe we find a new startup company that tries to sell this novel botanical pesticide because these semi-field experiments were so promising. And so we created a trademark, which is LinOX. So LinOX is this mixture that was most effective in our semi-field study. And we also already have some confidential agreements with people from the US, from Mauritania, Kenya, and Pakistan. And they want to support us with additional field studies that are necessary in order to get a registration of this LinOx. What we need are more project partners who are willing to help us with further studies, either basic research or advanced research, applied research, and maybe also investors who want to spend money on the further development of this or on the marketing of this LinOx. We also need people in the field doing field studies in order to prove the feasibility and also to see how it affects the vegetation and how non-target insects are affected by this spray treatment. My final slide, I want to thank to all the people in my team, especially Konstantinos Kostarakos, who is always performing the lab experiments and the field experiments. Zainab Abdelati from Egypt. She is my PhD student and she explained the problem to me a few years ago when she told me that in Egypt people are burning plastic in order to fight against locust outbreaks. And so we were thinking about this and so this project with this linseed oil was started. Then I also thank Clara Hayek. She is a student of mine, and the people from the Entrepreneurship Institute, Michael Freidel and Bernhard Weber, and also Dr. Ali Basharat from Pakistan. He is a Pakistani chemist, and he wants to support us with the further development of this linseed oil-based biopesticide. Thank you for the attention.
Okay, thank you very much, Manfred Hartbauer, for this interesting talk.
Hey, thanks for your talk. So I would have a question. So in most of your studies, you use adults, right?
And yes.
But so how does it affect the nymphs, the hoppers? Because I think they are sprayed more easily, and fighting them before they swarm is, in my view, more effective than after they've molted to be adult, because then they are just flying away.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think fighting against hopper bands is more effective, and we also performed experiments in the lab with nymphs, and we found that they are dying much faster when we spray them. So the concentration we need for nymphs is much lower than for adults. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe a follow-up on your lab experiments with the semi-field conditions. Mm-hmm. So what's the reason for the low temperature? I mean, glass houses can be heat up quite easily, right?
Yeah.
So I would argue it's a little bit warmer in Africa than 15 degrees.
Yeah,
is there an effect on sure. temperature?
Yeah. So what we have to do is now a follow-up study showing if there is any temperature effect on this physical effect that is caused by this hardening linseed oil. We could not increase the temperature in the glasshouse above 15 degrees. So we spent a lot of money on heating devices and on instruments for heating, but we had an outdoor temperature of only 0 degrees and during night -2 degrees. So we could not heat it more. That's a restriction of the facilities we had. But now we have to show that is there a difference in this? So when we use it at different temperatures, because all of our lab studies were performed at 23 degrees, and now we had only 15 degrees during the day. So we have to do some follow-up studies. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
There's one question from Giovanni. It's the question, are linseed plants repellent for locusts?
That's a good question. That's what I don't know. So the idea is that maybe we can convince people in Africa to grow their own pesticide just by planting linseed plants. Yeah? So flax, that would be a good idea, because then they become independent from the chemical industry or other companies. So that would be a good thing to And I really like the idea that people suffering from locust plagues already do something against it before the outbreak happens, just by planting oils or plants that give oils for locust treatments.
And so you showed in your graphs that the sunflower oil is even more toxic when you apply it alone. Did you also try mixing the sunflower oil with the baking powder?
Yeah, sure. No, it the sunflower oil in this study was also mixed with baking powder. But I didn't write this on the slide because there was already so much text. But this is a good question. Yes, sure. It has some effect, but it's a delayed effect compared to linseed oil. I think I should mention that we performed this additional comparative study with other oils because the patent lawyers said, why do you want to patent linseed oil? Is it better than any other oil? And so we had to perform this study just for the patent lawyers. And it was also interesting for us to see, is it really the best oil or is there another oil that can be used as well? I think all of them can be used because when you wait long enough, then the insects die anyway. But if you want to have a quick effect within 24 hours or 48 hours, then it's better to use linseed oil. Yeah.
It sounds like the specificity might not be very good, right? That's probably going to impact every single insect that is sprayed. Can you maybe hypothesize or compare with existing pesticide if you think this is going to be better also for biodiversity or something?
That's a very good question. Yeah. So we already performed some experiments on non-target insects. So finally, we found that these mealworm beetle adults don't respond to it. So even if we sprayed them and monitored their behavior for more than 30 days, there was no, we did not found more dead individuals compared to the non-treated control group. So for some reason, these beetles do not suffer from it. But we also performed experiments by spraying ladybug adults, and then we found that about 50% of them died. So we have some average toxicity in when it comes to spraying ladybugs. And the larvae of ladybugs, they were even more sensitive. So this shows that it is not so target specific as we may want it to be. What we also did is we did some feeding studies. We feeded our pesticide to ants and to bees, and feeding bees or ants had no real toxic effect. So we even had high concentration in the food, but there was no toxic effect. So, but when we spray the bees, that can create toxicity, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what is the mechanism of toxicity? I mean, is this like cluttering the spiracles so that they don't breathe? So it's any polymerizing molecule would just close the breathing of the animal.
Yeah.
And Morgan's question would be right. It would affect any insect that would then stop breathing.
Yeah. We also think like this, that it has some, it creates this thin, very thin film, which leads to suffocation. But some insects, you can't kill them. So we sprayed, for instance, these mealworm beetles with a big amount of our linseed oil, and they don't respond to it. So we have no answer to this. Why is one species not affected by it and the other species is highly affected by it? We don't know. It's just interesting to see that when we think of fighting locusts in the field, it's always desirable not to poison the locusts because they can be also used for animal food. For instance, if you think of the poultry industry, they always want food with a high protein content. And fish meal has a lower protein content compared to dead locusts. So in Pakistan, they started to cooperate. So local communities started to cooperate with the poultry industry just to provide food for chickens and for turkeys and so on. Yeah. So this, and if you use synthetic or chemical pesticides, then you can't use it as food for other animals, because this would be not a good idea to do it. But using linseed oil is, it's even healthy. So you can even get more essential oils or unsaturated fatty oils on the locusts. And if you use these locusts for as food for other animals, then it can be even healthy for them. Yeah. So this, that's the idea why we like this linseed oil. Yeah? And if you think of people from Uganda or from Thailand, they also like to eat locusts. And the problem is you should not eat locusts, because they are normally poisoned by some chemical, by a chemical cocktail. And if you eat much of this dead locust, then you get diarrhea and other problems. So killing locusts with linseed oil would be an alternative way, and it's even healthy for humans.
Okay, we have a question in the chat from Oliver Deussen. How much oil is needed for 1 square meter?
That's a good question.
If I can add also to this, how is it comparable to the traditional methods used?
Mm-hmm. So we used the traditional spraying device. So we even cooperated with a institute, a governmental institute in Austria, because they have experience with the spraying devices, and they have these commercially available spraying devices. And so we were testing different amounts of oil emulsions. And what we've seen is that we need about 2 liters per 20 square meters, or even better, 3 liters per 20 square meters of our pesticide emulsion. That's very effective. If you use only 1 liter, then they also die, but it takes much more time to kill them. So it takes more than 3 days to kill all the locusts. If you spray 3 liters, then they will be 94% of them will be dead within 48 hours.
So this would also mean they have a firm coat around them, right? This is quite a lot, it feels. Do you know the usual concentrations they use in the appliances of pesticides? I think it's far less.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. If we talk to people who are selling this fungi, for instance, then they say we only use 4 liters per hectare, 4 liters kerosene or 4 liters and so on. But if you think about this, there is no spraying device available that just sprays 4 liters per hectare. That's something that is not available. So I don't know how they get to these numbers. And if we talk to farmers in Austria spraying their vineyards or spraying anything else, yeah, then they tell us that they use 14 liters or even more when it comes to spraying some emulsion. Yeah, so spraying emulsions is normally a difficult thing. Yeah, and they use much more than we use in our study. Yeah.
Are you planning some real tests in Ethiopia, where there is a plague at the moment? Is it even possible at all? Or
yeah, we are working together with a farmers association in Kenya. So this is an association that of 3,000 farmers, about 3,000 farmers, and they are really supportive, and they want to perform field experiments based on our new data, because now we have an idea how much we need to spray and which formulation is most effective, and so we can help them in order to perform this additional field experiments, yeah? The real field experiment, yeah? And so we have a contract with them in order to set up a memorandum of understanding in order to work together in this to fight the locusts in Kenya. And yesterday I received an email that there is a current outbreak now also in Kenya. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This also comes back to another question I had. Is there any cooperation or discussion between you and the FAO, for instance, so the Food and Agricultural Organization or the Locust Watch?
Yeah, so the FAO knows our papers and publications. The first thing they did is they sent us the guidelines for pesticide registration. And if you read these guidelines carefully, you see that we will never be able to register the our pesticide following their guidelines. Because it says that every chemical substance in our plant oils needs to be tested separately on all target and non-target animals. And this is too expensive. We cannot do this. This would cost millions. And so I think this guideline is something we should forget about it. And we should really try to register our effective biopesticide in the countries where they suffer from locust plagues. Because meanwhile, they learned that the guidelines from the FAO and also the cooperation with the FAO did not really help them much, because the situation is the same. It was the same 1 year ago, and it's still the same in East Africa. So all the measures the FAO made, they were for nothing. Yeah. And so the authorities, now they are seeking for alternative treatments.
Okay, and so you think there's no access to funding or grants from the FAO to work on,
definitely, because not. No.
Okay.
I even confronted them with their problematic guidelines, let's call it like this, but they refused to send an answer to my email. So they are not very helpful.
Because I mean, I would agree that we need high specificity and guidelines, but it's also a shame if the money is the problem, because this is a huge impact of the livelihood of many people on Earth, right? So yes, you would imagine that there would be money available for research on this.
And the funny thing is, these FAO guidelines also violate the guidelines in US and in Europe, because in the US and in Europe, when you follow the guidelines for pesticide registration, they exclude every botanical oil from further registration, so you can use them without any registration, just because they are known historically. Mm-hmm. So it's rather easy. Normally, you even don't have to apply for a registered product. You can just use them if you follow these guidelines. But the FAO has very strict guidelines, and to me it seems that they really want to have chemical pesticides, because then you only have one substance and you can test this substance on non-target organisms and on target organisms.